This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A hell of a couple of games for the Bulls, and if we thought they were going to go 1-1 against the Thunder and the Warriors, I don't think it would have happened the way we expected, because they picked up a double-digit win over the Warriors with Vucevic putting up 43-13, and a bad, bad loss to OKC. However, I'm very happy for my Bucknell guy, Mike Muscala.
Actually, when you think about this team, should it surprise us?
This really does
kind of play to their MO all year of losing to a bad team and beating a good team. It's that game was 124-110, and it didn't feel that close. The Bulls right now, we should also say, are 20-24. They're tied for 10th in the East with the Toronto Raptors. Now, my experience of watching the Bulls and the Thunder was a strange one, because I was watching on my phone on the NBC Sports Chicago, my team's app, while sitting at the Kohl Center watching the Wisconsin men's hockey team get boat raced by the U.S.
A bunch of kids that are younger than I am.
Yes, by the men's U18. I don't know what I don't know how many teams they have.
I would say like men, USA U18. Men's team, something like that.
They were really good. Oh my God, were they good? And
Wisconsin's
a proud, prominent hockey program, and Tony Granato's coaching them. And man, did they get killed! But I was watching the Bulls game, so my reactions to the Bulls game were not syncing up with what was going on exactly in the hockey game.
And everyone thought you were a madman.
I was getting some strange looks because I kept saying, "Oh." The puck wasn't even in play in the hockey game, and I'm there moaning and groaning, and I'm doing my usual. Would somebody box out one time? The stuff that Josh Giddey was doing, going through everybody, he's getting really good.
He is really good. He is. People don't really talk about him, but his game is similar to LaMelo Ball. He's not quite the same. He's averaging 16-8-6 while shooting 48% from the field this season.
What is he shooting from three?
Let me check that.
Because if I remember correctly,
three-point field goal percentage is 34.
And if I remember correctly, he's started working with shooting coach Chip Englund, who I've known from minor league basketball from way back. He went to Duke back in the day before it was cool. And he's a really close friend of Steve Kerr's. And Chip has made a name for himself as a shooting coach, sort of a professional shot doctor for NBA three-point guys. And Giddey already has the stuff you cannot teach. He already has instinct and awareness, and you can tell he's a pro.
Yeah, there's a little, and with his passing, there's a little bit of Luka in him. Luka's a little bit advanced, and he's
more than a little.
I would say top three player in the NBA right now. He's been on a tear. I think he's that good. I think he's up there with Giannis and Jokic. I think that's my top three right now. But Giddey is doing some of that, and it seems like every single year there's some international guy that comes out of Europe, Australia, and anybody. And then they just start doing all this stuff that we've never seen before. And the Europeans and the international guys are really taking over the NBA. When three of the top five are international players, that's pretty cool to see. I don't know if that's ever been done before, but they're really taking over the game, and Giddey is no exception.
The stats that jump out for me in this game are Zach LaVine's 1 of 8 shooting from 3-point range. Ayo Dosunmu's 0 for 5 turn from the field, along with 3 turnovers and 4 fouls to go along with just 2 assists and no steals. He was terrible. And keep your eye once again on Kobe White, who was 7 of 15, 4 of 9 from 3, 19 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists off the bench.
Wait, 19 points? Say that again?
6.
19, 6, and 6.
In 32 minutes.
He can play.
Yep.
And I'm worried that the Bulls have more of a commitment to Ayo than Kobe. I don't know if it's because this regime drafted Ayo and they didn't draft Kobe. I don't know if it's because of defensive liability with Kobe White, because we know Ayo is a very responsible defender for the most part. But if I need to keep one of those two, I would keep Kobe 10 times out of 10, just because of what he can do with the ball in his hands. And even without it, he's a great catch and shoot player. And Ayo did have a couple of threes against the Warriors, but it just seems like Kobe recently has been consistently producing for them. And this team needs offense. This team needs a spark. They need threes, and Kobe White is a big source of that.
I think to close out the information on Josh Giddey, by the way, Rick Kemp tells us that Giddey's shooting 40.6% from three since the start of December. Since December 1st, he is in the 50-40-90 club, over 50% from the floor, over 40% from three, and 91% from the line, averaging 17.6, 8.5 rebounds, and 6 assists since December 1st.
Those are good numbers.
Oh, man, yeah.
He'll probably be in the Rising Stars game, but if he keeps putting up those numbers and maybe even more in years to come, I don't see why he wouldn't be an all-star. He doesn't get much recognition across basketball fans, just because he's an OKC and I wouldn't say they're fully rebuilding right now, because they do have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who we really haven't mentioned yet. And he's a pretty good basketball player, to say the least. But Giddey is doing something in OKC that I feel like it's going to be louder in a couple of years. We're going to know about it. We're going to hear about it. And it could be dangerous for some teams in the Western Conference.
So they dropped that one and we're feeling like garbage. And then we think, oh boy, here come the Golden State Warriors. And now this is just going to be a bloodbath. And I'll be damned.
Without DeRozan, both games.
I will say this, though. If you just looked at the final score and said, oh, the Bulls won by 14, and look how big they were up early, it did not indicate how close this game was.
Second and third quarter. I would say start of the second quarter to middle of the third, it was dead even for a lot of it. And it wasn't really until the fourth quarter where the Bulls really pulled away in a meaningful aspect, where just seemed like they couldn't miss. Obviously, I don't know what got into Vucevic that night, but or that afternoon, but he was on one, and he tied his career high, which he put up against the Bulls. I remember that game. That was the year they traded for him. It was the first year of the Acme regime, and he put up 43, and it was like he was the second player to put up some wild stat line in Magic history, tied with Shaq. And we were just like, ugh, this guy. And it seemed like he couldn't miss every single time he played the Bulls. And then he came to Chicago. We thought we'd get that. We haven't really gotten that. But, I mean, the other day, we saw a glimpse of that Orlando Magic Vucevic that we haven't seen in a while.
And his comments. I want to get to his comments in a moment, because what he said.
You've been talking about that for, you know, the past 48 hours.
It mattered what he said.
I know, you couldn't stop talking about it.
Well, that's what I do for a living. And you're talking about the Bulls too for a avocation. I just think that this has been a season of subtweeting. from a lot of the comments that are made.
Go
ahead.
Yeah, I pointed out early how when the Zach and Billy drama was happening, I pointed out how passive aggressive everyone was seeming. And Vucevic has continued that trend.
He said, I was just getting to my spots. I was able to move to my spots. I was able to get shots in the flow of the offense. And then he talked about being finishing a deep roll with a hard seal, finishing off moving toward the pocket, receiving the pocket pass as he kind of flattens out toward the short corner, and then being able to get into rhythm with that top of the key three. He hit 5 of his 10 threes, and you have a tell for when he shoots his threes, because I don't know how you do it, but you have a
You're
way.
Of saying I have a tell?
Yeah, when we watch you, I don't know what you're looking for, but usually you say that's going in, and every time you say it's going in, it does.
I look at his feet. Sometimes if he jumps backward on any shot, it never goes in, unless it's like a fadeaway. A fadeaway, sometimes it goes in, but if it's a standstill and it seems like he drifts back, he's going to miss it. It's when his feet are moving forward, but also at the basket. When his feet are square and moving forward, that's when I think the ball is going to go in. I don't know. I never pay attention to his wrist or his hand. The only thing I look at are his feet. And if his toes are square and if he moves forward with his body, I think when he does both of those things, I always say it's going to go in. And I'm right. I would say over 50% of the time.
Oh, I would say way more than that. Just it might be observational bias, but I do think you're right more often than that. So when he says that, though, he's obviously talking about DeMar. He has to be, because we know the offense has to pause when DeMar has the ball and needs to do his things.
He's not the flow disruptor. He's the flow disruptor, like two E's.
Like
he's
the Ohio State University?
Yeah, he's the flow disruptor.
Yeah, it's and I understand it. And it's not necessarily to say that he's bad at his job. It's just the way he's got to work.
Yeah, yeah, that's who DeMar is. And that's nothing against him. He's a great scorer, and we've known that. It's just he does disrupt the flow, and it's clear when you hear that from Vooch, and it's clear when you watch that game. Even then, it seemed like Zach LaVine was hitting some shots, and Kobe White had 15 off the bench. I think every starter had at least 10, and Derek Jones played pretty well. So
yeah, that's true. LaVine had 27, Io 12. He played much better in a bounce-back game. Vooch, the aforementioned, 43. Patrick Williams had 10. Yeah. Caruso had 12 points, 9 boards, 7 assists, 2 steals.
Against the Warriors, Steve Kerr again probably said, we'd love to have you, like he did in that first game.
And they might have him. And Kobe White, once again, he hit both his threes. He was 6 of 7 from the floor, 15 points, 3 boards.
Two threes?
2 steals in 25 minutes. The numbers that
jumped. He only took 2 threes? Hold on.
Yeah. I had him as 2 for 2.
I shoot more. Have him take 5.
What jumps off the page here for me, Draymond was horrible. Draymond Green in 32 minutes was a minus 24. He scored 8 points. And he did have 7 assists, but he turned it over 6 times. They had 23 turnovers. Curry had 8 turnovers. Curry was 3 of 10 from 3. He scored only 20 points. He turned it over 8 times. Draymond Green turned it over 6 times. Jordan Poole had 4 turnovers, 23 total turnovers for the game. And the Bulls only turned it over 10. Everything else was relatively equal. The Bulls hit 15 threes. And the Warriors were 21 of 51, so they can't complain about their three-point shooting. And Klay Thompson with 8 of them.
Yeah. Say what you want about Draymond. His podcast numbers are probably great. Everybody listens to that podcast. I don't know. I don't think you know who he is. I mentioned him, but there's a YouTuber by the name of Flight Reacts, and he's a huge Warriors fan. And so I watched that. He reacts to the highlights on YouTube. I watched that video.
Wait, his name is Flight Reacts, or his name is Flight? That's his
YouTube. Flight Reacts is his YouTube channel. It's a react. Okay. He reacts to things. His YouTube name is Flight. He saw the stats after the game, after the highlights, and the first thing he said was Draymond with the triple single.
Yeah, he's bad.
And it was pretty funny, and he always has these nicknames for guys. Speaking of which, he calls Anthony Lamb Lamb Chops, which I don't know. Every single time he shoots the ball, he just screams Lamb Chops.
He's good.
He's really good. Yeah.
And I'm pissed that I burned a really good showdown.
Yeah, you got me on but it didn't count. It's unofficial.
It didn't count because you didn't know that Anthony Lamb went to Vermont.
Because Now I do. I'm never going to forget that now. Yeah. That's the issue, because I don't forget things like that, but I forget how to do math. So, yeah.
Are they the Catamounts? Is that right? I think.
No idea. You I just know they made the turn. I'm not really with small schools except the Patriot League.
Well, you better know the Patriot League.
I better know. Yeah. Patriot League's pretty awesome. But
as far as you know, I mean, you're interested in six of the 10 schools, but.
Yeah, that's not very many. But yeah, the Patriot League is really sick. Back to the topic. Anthony Lamb was really good. I liked his game. He had 12 in the first half. I think he ended with 14, if I'm not mistaken. He can make shots, and he's a good defender. And he actually came up through the G League.
And you know who else makes shots?
Dante DiVincenzo?
Yes!
No, he's one of those guys. I've been saying this for 2 years that I've always liked him. He's one of these Kevin Huerter. Not that good. Kevin, I feel like I say it every episode where I compare some guy to Kevin Huerter, and then I just say not that good because Kevin Herter's been great. Either the Bogdanoviches, he's a shot maker. He's a shot maker wing. Yeah, that's what he's really good. He's really good. Just a bench 3-point dude.
So they caught him on a good night.
What college? Who? You should know that. DiVincenzo.
Oh, I do know. Villanova?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Nice.
They have all those guys with like the polysyllabic Italian names. I remember because Archie Diacono and DiVincenzo are both Villanova.
I mean, it's Philly, so like.
But they're not from Philly, are they?
I don't know, both but it seems like everybody in Philly's name would be Dante DiVincenzo and Ryan Archie Diacono.
There's a reason why those guys were extremely popular in the certain Philly community. It wouldn't surprise me one bit.